Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast, designed for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. Our guests are remarkable individuals from various insurance industry sectors, and our host, Nina Shepherd, has been an insurance leader for over three decades. Together, we explore what it truly means to be a bold and impactful leader and find personal fulfillment in the ever-evolving insurance world. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Thursdays. Be sure to follow the podcast on your platform of choice to receive alerts when new episodes drop. Bold leaders, frank dialogue, actionable strategies. Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to welcome an amazing Karen Rohrling to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. Karen is the current chairwoman of the Florida Association of Insurance Agents and the principal and president of Cyber Insurance Agency in Tampa. She has over 20 years of agency experience, preceded by underwriting work with a global carrier. She is one of the rare insurance professionals with a degree in risk management and insurance and CIC and CPCU designations. Karen's extensive background and industry influence allow her to be a frequent news contributor on Florida's pressing insurance issues, and she was even recently featured on the cover of Independent Agent magazine. Good morning, Karen. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. Good morning, Nina. I'm excited to be here.
Great. I want to start by acknowledging your confident and composed behavior on large stages. I saw you speaking, Karen, in front of large audiences on several occasions, the latest just a few weeks ago at the FAIA Women in Leadership event. You delivered your message authentically and calmly, and I was very impressed. Does it come to you naturally, or have you worked on this intentionally?
I actually worked on it, but not necessarily intentionally. In college, I was involved with a business fraternity called Alpha Kappa Psi at Florida State. And starting in college, they had us get up and speak in front of the members, and we had over 100 members of the fraternity. That's really where I learned not to be scared and to speak in front of large crowds, and then just have been asked to speak at many events. My largest one actually had 1,000 folks in the audience. Insurance agents. Yeah, that was pretty neat. So, and then just networking meetings where I get up and talk frequently. It was definitely a skill that I had to work on. It didn't come naturally. I was scared to death to do it my first time back in college, but I've done it so many times now that it doesn't concern me anymore, which is nice.
This is awesome. You have to try and practice and overcome your lack of confidence. And then at some point, it comes naturally, because this is how it looked to me, really.
Good. I appreciate that. Thank you for the feedback. Yeah, it does. It did not look like that when I first started, that's for sure. I was stumbling words and things like that. But then I just learned to take it slow and be confident and realize that, you know, no one's expecting somebody to get there and be perfect. So yeah, it's exactly. Worked out really well.
Yeah, great. Hey, Karen, let's get back to the very beginnings of your insurance career. You have a risk management and insurance degree, so I guess you knew from the very beginning that you want to have a career in insurance. How did it start for you?
Well, I didn't actually. It's interesting. My father had started the insurance agency back in 1971, and so as a child, I heard him on the phone all the time with underwriters and things because he owned the agency and he was in commercial sales. So I knew about insurance because of him, obviously, but and worked in the office doing like filing and things to earn some extra money during high school. But when I went off to college, I wanted to be a marine biologist. I also selected where I went, which was Florida State University, because I liked the football team and I only applied to Florida State. I got in. Ended up starting in the College of Science and taking a few classes and realized that it was not for me. So I switched to the College of Business pretty quickly, and I saw an intro to risk management and insurance class. And I thought, well, this will be easy because I've been around insurance my whole life at that point. And really the professor that I had kind of hooked me. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, man, I have that entrepreneurial spirit I was realizing in college, and I really liked the idea of owning my own business. I was a risk taker, and I was doing things growing up, like selling candy at school and things like that. I mean, I was always looking for ways to make money. And so I thought, man, this could be a great career and opportunity. And at the time, and I think still today, Florida State had 100% job placement coming out of the program. And so I thought, I didn't necessarily think I was going to go work for my dad right away. And I did not end up doing that. I went and worked, like you said, as an underwriter. But it took that college, that first college class, intro to risk management, and the business classes I really enjoyed. I'm really good at mathematics, and just enjoyed the accounting and the business calc and that type of stuff, as well as just business oriented people classes, people I was hanging out with. The College of Science was not for me. So that's kind of how I started down that path, and then just instantly got interested. Being in Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, was cool because when legislators were in session, Florida State did a really good job encouraging students to get involved in different things. And I was a part of Florida Insurance Council. I don't even know if FIC is still around, but at the time I was a volunteer there. So I got to do some neat stuff. Yeah. And then Insurance Days is pretty cool. I got to participate in that as a junior and a senior. And that's where I had multiple job offers coming out of school. I didn't start off going to college thinking I was going to be an insurance major, but when I saw how much opportunity there was, not just to be in an agency, but with the big corporate side, there's claims path you can take, service path you can take, sales path. There's just so many different options within the industry that, and it was interesting to me when I got really into contracts and things like that. I was really interested in wanting to learn more. So that's why I ended up kind of on the path that I'm on.
This is a great story. It's actually interesting that you saw that variety of opportunities yourself in such a young age. Forgive me for saying that. Because this is what we usually talk about when we've been 20, 30 years in the business. And one of those things that I always share with the younger generations is, hey, it's not about just, you know, having your own business or like establishing your own agency or your own brokerage. There are so many other different opportunities. You can be an underwriter, claims, you can work in legal, you can work as an actuary. There are, you know, you can apply your talents in so many ways and variety of different jobs in insurance, and it's a career for life. And this is something that not everyone sees in insurance, especially in such a young age. But you saw it. Wonderful. And then you decided to go for the underwriting. So how was that?
I loved it. Coming out of school, had all these opportunities, every different imaginable field. Insurance Days is a really unique thing that Florida State does where they bring in the recruiters from all the different companies and you get to hear, they kind of pitch to you. So the biggest reason I knew all the different career paths is because of all the recruiters and things that are saying you could do this, you could do that. But at that point, when I was graduating, I thought, okay, I want to get experience somewhere else because I want to be able to prove it to myself that I can do this and succeed in a totally separate environment from the family business. My dad wanted me to come right in. I did not. I wanted to prove it to myself to, for whatever reason I did. So I actually ended up selecting a company that had a wonderful culture. I fell in love with the culture. It wasn't the highest pay, but they had a great training program and the people were super cool and the culture seemed great. They had a big facility in Tampa. I think there were 1,700 employees at the time. They have a gym. They had a personal trainer that you had access to. There was a softball field. There was basketball courts. There was tennis. They were very community oriented within the company. And they had a path for me. So I started as an associate underwriter. Then I got promoted to underwriter. Then I got promoted to lead underwriter. And then I was had the opportunity to be an underwriting manager. And that's when I decided to make the transition. So it was a great company. And I still keep in touch with my friends from there, which it's crazy to think it's been 20 years since I left that company. I started in 02. I left in 05. And so this year will be my 20th year at the agency. But I still keep in touch with probably five or six underwriters that I worked with there. Because in 2007, this company had kind of a downsizing because they were centralizing in Texas. And so a lot of my friends are in Tampa and very qualified individuals, a lot of them CPCUs. So they ended up taking different underwriting positions within all the Florida domestic carriers that were in the state. And so just really couldn't have made a better.
That certainly helps now, right?
Oh my gosh. It's so great to be able to, you know, when something's going on with a carrier or whatever, I mean, it couldn't have been a better move that I made to go to that particular company. And then the only reason I left, I was planning on staying a couple more years, but when I got offered that position of underwriting manager, it was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was newly married. I just didn't want to pick up and go knowing that I was eventually going to come back to Tampa in a couple years. So that's when I decided to make the jump. And I had a great mentor leader there who his dad owned an Allstate agency. And when I went and talked to him about the opportunity to go into the agency or stay with this company and go to Phoenix, he was like, you know what, Karen, there aren't many days that go by that I don't wish that I went into the family business. He's like, you can continue to progress and move up within this company, but it's going to mean 4 or 5 moves in your career, you know, all across the country. And that's what he had done. And so that kind of made me feel good about it to be like, okay, I'm making the right decision because I wanted to stay in Tampa. I didn't want to be moving all around the country. And plus my husband at the time with his job, he couldn't move very easily. So that's why I ended up leaving that company. Otherwise, if I didn't have the opportunity to be in the agency business and to own an agency, I probably would still be working for that company. I mean, it was a really, really great experience. I got to learn so many great things corporately that I could bring into the small agency. When I started in 2005 at the agency, I think we had like 7 employees. My dad was a wonderful salesperson, but was never trained on like, what can you ask somebody that is interviewing for a position? I'll never forget. I was sitting with him for the first interview once I joined the agency, and the woman had 2 children, and he was like, so do you plan on having any more children? And I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, you're done with interviews, no more. But the company that I worked for previously, because it was a big corporate environment, I did get to sit in with HR to do hiring and cool stuff. I had to go through classes to learn these things, you know, because they just don't come naturally. It was a great experience. And then that's pretty quickly took over operationally at the agency because of those things. My dad's a great salesperson, but wasn't good in those things that I was trained in working for a big company. So,
okay. Yeah. And you hit the nail in the head here. I have a similar experience to you. I owned my own agency, and then I worked for the large corporate as well. And I don't necessarily always agree to the notion that it's all bad in the large corporate, because I think there are so many very valuable and useful things, especially if you find the right company with the right culture, as you've been fortunate to find, because there are only as many things that we can learn working for ourselves in a smaller setting and working in a more dynamic environment with more professionals in, you know, like legal professionals, HR professionals, like underwriting professionals. This is so much opportunity to learn. This gives us that opportunity. And then we can bring it back to the agency, and that makes the agency kind of go through the roof on a new level, because now you are leveraging all those things that you've learned in other places. So you came back to your father's agency. How did it feel? Because this transition could be tricky.
Right.
How was it for you?
Again, I couldn't have done anything better for timing. So I joined in 2005, and I think we had 7 employees. All of them had been with my father for a really long time. One of them, his office manager. I was friends with her daughter. So we grew up together, her daughter and I, and now I'm going to be her boss. And so definitely was some things I had to overcome with the staff where, oh, this kid, you know, doesn't know anything coming in here thinking she's going to run the show. But I didn't. I took kind of a backseat. I did some operational things and I sat in with my dad for some things. And then I started to get into sales. But one thing that I did do pretty quickly was in 2006, we selected an agency management system. Up until that point, paper files. It was crazy. And yeah, so I implemented a plan. I hired some kids in college for the summer. We just called them interns. And they went through all the paper files. I made a list of all the stuff. We had receipts that were 20 years old. I mean, crazy stuff were in files. The files were this thick on customers that we'd had for a long time. I taught them how to thin out files. And then I wanted to double check everything. So they thinned out stuff that we didn't need. And they put it in these boxes. And then what I would do is just quickly go through those boxes just to make sure there weren't forms or signed apps or anything in there that we needed to keep. And then we shredded it all. Then once we thinned the files down, because the file drawers, the way they were organized was by carrier and then alphabetically, we selected at the time TAM Online applied. So I would say, okay, St. John's was a company we wrote with. So we'd say, okay, St. John's A through J is in the system because those were scanned in. And that's how we did it, was by carrier and then alphabetically. And then I was the expert on the system, right? Because I selected the system. I was the one that was trained on how to use it. I hired an outside consultant to come in and spend a week with the staff when we went live. But I was working with folks that had been in the industry for a really long time, dealing with paper the entire time in like a manual rate making book, right? That was a challenge for sure. I had to deal with some folks that would, we had the files scanned in, they would print them, write on them, and then rescan them in. So we did have a couple staffing changes because of this system that we went to, but I think helped elevate me and make them realize that I really knew what I was talking about was that they had to come and say, okay, I need to do this in the file or that in the file. How do I do it? I was creating the procedure manual and stuff on, you know, how to get things in there and how to find things and all that stuff. So it really helped to elevate me and for them to look at me as if, you know, I'm not my father's child. I am just another person that's working there, happened to be the expert on the system. And then I started selling insurance too. So I did everything. I like serviced, I sold, you know, operations, and then eventually brought somebody on to help me be my assistant. And then she moved up through the ranks and then allowed me to step back from the management of the people part of it and then just sell. So I just sold commercial insurance for about 10 years. And then I found a good, we had gone through a few producers. It's very difficult, obviously, to find the right fit in that role because it's tough, you know, to do the commercial sales. And now we have two great commercial salespeople. So it's allowed me to step back from that and kind of work on the business instead of in the business. And I still have my clients that I've had for a long time on the commercial line side that I still work with, but I'm not taking on any more new clients. But yeah, so when I first started, it was definitely an interesting dynamic, but it changed pretty quickly. You know, it didn't take long for them to see that, okay, you know, she knows what she's doing. We can, you know, give her some leeway here.
Well, that's a great story. So what I heard there is the key success factor for you was actually introducing the new CRM, and that gave you the opportunity to be seen as an authority figure in a sense. Forgive me if this is a tricky question, but I will ask that. And how did your father accept that? How was that going? Was he totally on board with you?
Yeah, that's interesting because I do talk to a lot of my friends that are legacy kids coming into the business, and the parents have a hard time letting go of some things and maybe trusting them to make decisions. I did not feel like that with my father. I felt like when I came in, he was impressed. You know, he was like, wow, okay, like all this information that I brought over from the previous company, plus my degree in risk management and insurance. And I had shown a lot of responsibility in college. I mean, I was the kid that at the beginning of the year, he would give me X amount of dollars. And at the end of the year, I'd have money left because I would budget it and I wouldn't just blow it, you know, in the first month, you know? So for whatever reason, old soul, whatever, I was very responsible from a young age. So he did a wonderful job of having me work with him on a lot of things. And he was like, okay, well, what would you do? Why would you do it? And he would either agree or disagree and tell me why, but he would let me do it and fail or let me do it and succeed. And so we had a really good working relationship. I would say the hardest part about the transition was because he was an insurance agent for so long, 1971 to 2012 is a long time, and his identity was really wrapped up in being an insurance agent. So when it was time for like the official transition ownership and all that stuff to happen, mm-hmm. that was probably the harder time for him and me to have that discussion. At the time, I was 32. I was young, but I felt like it had been forever, even though I started in the agency in 05. But that was probably the tougher time. But as far as like letting go and eventually just letting me make decisions. He was really good. But I think also a big driver in that was that all he wanted to do was sell. He didn't want to worry about stuff happening in the office. He didn't want to worry. He just had his person he would call when he would finish the call. And he would tell her everything that happened and she would make the notes in the file. He never even got a log into the system. So I think it freed up him to do what he truly loved, which is connecting with people and selling and going out and talking with his customers and negotiating with underwriters and stuff. And me taking all the other stuff off his plate, I think, made his last years in the industry very enjoyable.
This is a wonderful story. And I think you've been very fortunate. So a great story of the family transitioning. Yeah, wonderful. Now, in the hindsight, 20 years in the agency, are there any things that you would do differently knowing what you know today?
I feel like we've really done a good job. You know, I'm sure there's mistakes along the way, but I'm the type of person, my personality is like, I'll learn from a mistake, but I don't dwell on it. We've made bad hires in the past that maybe we didn't part ways soon enough. That's definitely happened quite a few times. I am definitely learning from those mistakes. We have made a bad hire in the last couple of years and they were gone in 2 weeks. We realized right away that this wasn't a good fit for us. We've always kind of been ahead of the curve, I think, on technology when you compare us to other agents. Because I'm so involved in the industry, I'm always asking people what's new, what's out there. I'm involved in different groups online to kind of see what technology is popped up. So I feel like my folks have the latest and greatest tools that are out there. When we switched agency management systems in 2016, we said, we're sticking with it for 10 years. I'm not the type of person that switches back and forth to flip-flop because one now has a better feature than the other. So we're coming up on that 10-year mark. So we're starting to evaluate different agency management systems to see what has progressed over the last 10 years. And you know, I hired an EOS consultant about 2 years ago. And that maybe, I guess, if I could go back and say, you know, something I would have wished I would have done sooner. It's Traction. It's from the book Traction. It's a popular book for just how to manage any business. It doesn't matter. You can apply it to any business. Okay. It's kind of like the E-Myth, you know, that was a popular book. And they have these EOS facilitator trainers. And that has been helpful because it's caused me to think, you know, looking at our trends and our growth, we've had tremendous organic growth over the last few years. And so we've had a need to add more layers of management, which my corporate background was always like against. I was like, I don't want multiple layers and bureaucracy and things that we have to go through. But I, through EOS, realized that like we had to elevate some people into some just training positions, which we've never had before. You know, we've got like 24 folks, I think, in the agency now. And back when we were really tiny, everybody had a license. Everybody's wearing a ton of hats, you know. And so as we've grown, EOS has helped me think through, okay, if we continue to grow at this pace, I'm going to have to think about these positions and kind of have empty boxes, knowing that I'm eventually going to have to elevate somebody or bring somebody in from the outside. I have learned that. That's been a big lesson too. I much prefer to promote within versus bring somebody in at a management level because it just, we've tried it and it just, it's so hard to make sure that it's a culture fit and that people trust you and they're going to listen to you. And
the risk, definitely a bigger risk to bring someone from the outside. If you are like 24 people today, this is that dangerous size because you outgrown the small agency now, but you are not there in terms of resources. You can't really afford to spend a lot of resources for hiring people and all of that. So there's a lot of pressure on you as the owner, I'm sure. To add to that, you became involved with the FAA, giving your time to that organization. How did that happen?
So back in, geez, I don't know how long ago, it's been over 10 years, I saw something on the FAI website about this FIFL program, Future Florida Insurance Leaders. I applied to it and got involved, and it really was a great experience because it exposed me to the board and the inner workings of the association, and then making the connections that I did within that group of FIFL people. There was only like 15 of us, and then all the folks at FAI, I was like, man, I need to hang around all these people more. And so I then got involved in Young Agent Council. I ended up being the chairwoman of Young Agent Council. That led to the board. And I spent 3 years on the board as a director and then left the board. And after that, term, and then was on the finance committee and other committees, legislative committee. I still stayed involved with the association and then was nominated for the position that I'm in now, which is a 4-year commitment. I'm in year 3. I'm the chair currently, and then I'll be on the board one more year as a past chair. But what allows me the ability to be so involved is I have somebody at my agency, Candace, who's been with me for quite a long time, 16, 17 years. She's absolutely wonderful. She manages the staff. She's the one that started as an assistant for me, and she's a very bright individual and did a bunch of things within the agency, and we have a fantastic relationship. So because of her, it allows me to be involved in the industry, and the agency benefits because I always come back with tools or, you know, what's new, or we're having this challenge. How do you guys deal with it? And because I have the relationships with the agency owners through being involved in the insurance association, they're very open to sharing. I mean, everyone has always been so kind and giving of their time or tools or advice, connections. I wrote a huge account. I tell the story quite often because of my buddy Garrett Butler down in Miami. We served on the board together the first time, and then we overlapped one year when he was chair recently. But I had this weird account arms dealer guy that I needed to place, and I thought, who could do it? Let me call Garrett. He's in Miami. They get crazy stuff down there. And he connected me with somebody out of Chicago, and I was able to write the account. It was 7-figure premium that I would have otherwise said, I am so sorry, I have no market for you. But because of my relationship with Garrett, I have through the association, those are the types of things that there's so many benefits that come from it. Plus, I love helping people. So I love the fact that I can call on them for help, but then I'm called on for help too, and I'll do the same thing. I just enjoy it. It doesn't matter what my day looks like. If somebody calls me and I've got a packed day and they're like, you know, I've run into this challenge, I don't know what to do, I'm happy to stop and assist because it makes me feel good. So
this is great. This is an amazing motivation to be helped and be ready to help. And well, no surprise that you're in insurance industry. That's what we do every day in and out, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when there's hurricanes and things. It's like a lot of not selling insurance, but doing when the rubber meets the road. This is what we do. We sell a promise. We sell a piece of paper. So, when that promise isn't being met, we definitely got to get involved and help out the customer.
So true. Karen, we are having this conversation in March, which is an internationally recognized month for honoring women and their accomplishments. A recent study from Liberty Mutual revealed that women comprise 75% of servicing staff in insurance agencies, and at the same time, only 26% of principal and owners. Why is it happening, in your opinion?
Ooh, why is it happening? I it's interesting. When I first started in the industry, that's definitely something that I noticed, is it's a very male-dominated industry. I think prior to my entrance, which now I've been in it for 23 years, it was very much a good old boy network. Maybe not intentionally exclusive of women, but definitely I think women are more intimidated in those environments where it's a bunch of men. So that I don't know exactly why it's more male focused that own it, it tends to be like male producers on the commercial line side as well as, you know, ownership. But I liked that challenge coming into the industry. I took it as the disadvantage as an advantage, actually, because most of my commercial clients, because that's what I sold, were used to egomaniac dudes coming in to sell them insurance. And I took a different approach. I was like, hey, I'm here to help. And if you are in a good spot, I'm going to tell you to stay. But if I can help you, I'll help you. But I don't know why, but it certainly has changed. I think when I first joined the industry, it was probably half that ownership of women. Now I think we are starting to take over the world here, because now it's definitely much higher percentage of women-owned insurance agencies.
Yeah, I feel similar to how you feel about it. I don't necessarily focus on those things in a day-to-day, and I truly believe that everyone who works hard in insurance actually has that opportunity to make their way through. Don't necessarily think that insurance is a hostile environment, in no way. But also sometimes I'm thinking, how do we make it more inclusive, even though that's not a popular word nowadays. Still, we are the managers and the leaders of the agencies. How do we make sure that it's more inclusive for both men and women, and that we are promoting that good work ethics, hard work ethics, in a sense that at the same time, allowing people to have their balance in place as well, which is one of those things that is so important for women in the workplace, right? So from that perspective, what do you do in your agency?
We're super flexible. When you look at the makeup of my agency, so I'm the principal and then Candace is my COO, so women led. Actually, yeah, leadership team is women. Maybe that's because we're just extremely flexible. I don't know. I mean, a lot of my employees do have children. I don't. But I know sometimes there's events that they have to attend, or you know, the kid is sick and they have to stay home, and we're very accommodating to that. So that might be a reason why we have a lot of women leaders. I don't know. But I do think, at least for me, not being intimidated by being in rooms where sometimes I'm the only woman around the table, I never feel hate or anybody, you know, giving me a hard time or anything. And I think a lot of times it's in their head. It's in the woman's head. Because I don't feel it, I don't act any different than I would otherwise. And I grew up playing sports. I think that is part of it too. I'm very competitive. And so male or female, it could be something silly like competition within the organization. Like we've played like basketball with paper, throw it in the trash can. And I'm like talking crap in everybody's face and everything. And I feel I'm not treated any different than any other male counterpart in those environments. But I think a lot of it is in the head. Now, I also am younger. I'm 45. I know the folks that were in the industry prior to me, rewind 20 years prior to that, that maybe they're in their 60s. I'm sure it was a much different situation. But when I started in the early 2000s, there's definitely like, you know, the guys all play golf and stuff, but I'm a golfer. So I'll be on with them, you know, and I can drive the heck out of the ball. So in scrambles, they wanted me on their team because I could drive the ball really far, you know. But I think that women get intimidated because maybe they can't hit the ball far, or they swing and miss or whatever. So they don't want to be on the golf course. So they feel like they're missing out. But they could still be in the clubhouse afterwards for the big dinner or the celebration, something like that. So that's kind of the way I've always looked at things. But I know that some of my friends sometimes think that they're being excluded because they're maybe not a good golfer or something like that or whatever. It's just a bunch of guys playing poker or whatever. I'll do anything. So I don't care. And I've never felt like anyone's like, you shouldn't be here, or you're not invited to this, or this is just a guy's event or anything like that. It just happens to be there's a lot of guys around the table.
I'm glad to hear that you have such a good experience. This is a similar experience to the extent that I had. Even though we are from different generations, I've been in insurance for over 40 years, and I still have to say that I don't have a lot of bad stories that are gender type of stories. Of course, I had my ups and downs in general, as anyone else who's been 40 years in professions.
Right.
And I don't play golf, even though I know how to do that, but I just don't like playing golf. And I don't think that ever precluded me from anything or limited my ability to do anything in insurance. Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make. Good. Karen, we are still at the beginning of the 2025. So let's talk about what do you see as your priorities from both personal and professional perspectives in this year?
My personal goals, I have goals around spending so much time with family and things. I have goals around the work-life harmony, right? There'll be some weeks where I'll work like crazy, and then other weeks where my workload might be a little less and I want to take advantage of those weeks and play a little bit more. So those are some goals there. I like to get up early in the morning. I do a 7 a.m. workout every morning. And then if my day isn't too crazy to begin with, I love to take like a 4 or 5 mile walk. I live close to the water and just really enjoy the weather and being outside. And so that's definitely a personal goal. Professionally, our goal agency-wide is to grow 15% year-over-year organic growth. So working on the business, we've created a new role within the agency called business development. for the first time ever have somebody that's just out in the field generating business for the agency by making connections in the community and being involved. So that is definitely something that I want to continue to focus on, that role, because it's brand new for us. And continuing to elevate the staff, promote. We have this ninja program that I created where we just had a staff member complete her CIC. She just got her CIC designation. And so now she's a black belt ninja. And when they take those courses that require tests and things, and when they get them, then they kind of belt up. So I want to continue to elevate the staff with education, because it only helps them be a better person for the client. And then obviously they're a more educated person too. And then just continuing to work on the business with the training. We've got two new positions too that were added last year, where they're just specifically on the commercial line side, just training, on the personal line side, just trainings. Because we have these new roles that are not customer service and sales focused, they're support, you know, training, and then bringing in new business. Those are part of my goals for this year, is just working to make sure that that continues to go well. It's new to those people. Everybody that is in those new roles have been with the company for a while, and they've been elevated into those roles. And so it's different and it's new and requires some coaching and guidance a lot more than if we wouldn't have done that. So those are some goals for me for this year professionally.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. So as we are approaching the end of our conversation, Karen, is there something else that you would like to share with our listeners who are insurance leaders and professionals looking for the inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies? Any word of wisdom from you?
Absolutely. I would say the biggest piece of advice that I got at a young age was to get involved in the industry. It could be any organization, but specifically insurance. The Florida Association of Insurance is absolutely amazing. Other states have different associations that I'm sure are great. Being involved and getting to know other agents, supporting other agents and agency owners, and you know, not necessarily even an owner, it could be just somebody within the agency who's in the service side or the sales side or claims or whatever. I feel like being surrounded by insurance professionals that are all looking to learn and grow and provide help, and then also ask for help when needed, has really been a game changer. It also keeps me very informed on what's happening before it happens in the industry. Being involved on a board level is absolutely phenomenal. There's a lot of stuff that comes up that the general public never even finds out about, because we've got wonderful advocates both on the national level and the state level for the big I that squash stuff before it even gets off the ground. And, being involved and knowing what the threats are out there and what opportunities are out there, what new tools are out there, that's really been probably my biggest key to success in growing the agency, is just being involved. And you're volunteering your time, but you get back so much more than, you know, the time out of the office. So I know a lot of people struggle with that. They're like, oh, I have all these things I have to do. And yeah, and they feel like if they are out of the office for a day, they're just going to be weeks behind. But it really has paid off in my career. And that would be the piece of wisdom and advice that I give to folks. And it really applies to any industry, but specifically insurance.
This is great, great advice. Thank you, Karen. Thank you very much for the fantastic conversation today. Now, if our listeners would like to learn more about you, where could they find more information?
Oh, our website, www.seibertagency.com. It's S-E-I, B as in boy, E-R-T, agency.com. There's information there. That's the way they can contact me if they need any help. LinkedIn, same thing, Karen Rowling on LinkedIn. It's R-O-E-L-I-N-G-K-A-R-Y-N. I always say that with this Karen meme that's out there. I'm like, I'm a Y-N, not an E-N. So yeah, if they want to connect with me on LinkedIn or scout us out on the website, that's where they could find out more information.
Karen, it was a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you. It was great. I appreciate the opportunity, Nina. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like it and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. If there is anyone else in your circle who can benefit from listening, please share this link with them. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and your opinion matters to me. So if there is any topic you'd like to bring up, please send me a note to nina@ninashepherd.com. I'll see you back in 2 weeks on Thursday morning. Bye for now.